Hi, it's really great to have you with us. I'm Rob Pooler. My wife Heather and I have the amazing privilege of being the senior pastors at Kingdom Culture Church in Burpengary, Queensland. We have an incredible preaching team, and I hope that this message will encourage and bless you as you listen.
You well, church? That's good. That's good. Hey, we just want to thank you so much for your generosity. That's not normal in a COVID year. That is unbelievable. And I was on the phone with Papa Porter, or Pastor Robert, this afternoon, and he just finished snorkeling in Cairns. I hate him. What? And he just was like, hey, make sure you let him know that me and Heather are just blown away. We're so thankful. And on a practical note, we're really excited to, what's the date today? 21st? Aircon's going this week. So praise God. So so exciting, and we're excited to start practically applying that finance. Once again, you got any questions, refer to the booklet, come and see me, one of the executive team. We want you to know where every single cent of the money you've given generously, where it's gone and what it's being used for. So that's good. Hey, who was here this morning? Real quickly, let's have a look. Cool. It's good. I feel like the two church crowds are getting less and less double up, and that's cool. But Alex Mott preached, and I'm telling you, I had pretty high hopes. Like, I feel like a lot of maybe our team didn't realize that Alex has been like on paid staff at a church, like preaching weekly and stuff. But I was still like, wow, this guy's unreal. And I'm going to tell you why he's unreal, because encouragement is often very general, but criticism is really specific. So, and I'm a words guy. So if it's just for me and you, that's fine. The reason he was so good is because he has the ability to teach with brilliant comedic timing. Brilliant. He knows exactly what he's doing the whole time. And then towards the end, the oil starts to flow. And that puts him in rare company. People that can teach with sharpness of technique, but also see the anointing of God begin to move through the sermon. So just incredible. Excited to hear more from you. I did tell Dad you sucked, but that's all right. So, yeah, why don't we give Alex one more hand? Come on, it's good. Okay. Praise God. If you would restart my timer, that would be awesome. I want that 90 seconds back. I need it. We're in a series at the moment called, my name's Fred, by the way. I'm on team here at Kingdom Culture Church. If you're visiting, we're so pumped you're here. If you're part of the church, hi. We're in a series, that was funny in my head. We're in a series called Give, Pray, Fast. This is sermon number 9. I know. I checked that like 4 times when I was prepping. I was like, we haven't done 9. But it's because it's been spread out over a couple of weeks and different topics. But my sermon title tonight is very deep and edgy and catchy. Why should we pray? I know. I'm just, Hillsong's going to come knocking for my creative insights. I thought too, I like spent a while. I was like, how the purpose of prayer, the purpose-filled, prayerful priority of the presence of Peter. Like, I couldn't think of anything, so I thought, I'll just talk about why we should pray. You know, Martin Luther, the great reformer, he brought us out of Catholicism, and he was a reformer in his time, and he suffered for the gospel, and he's got this great quote. He said, I have so much business, I cannot get on without spending 3 hours in daily prayer. Now, this isn't the legalistic guy. This is the grace guy. This is the guy that's like, hey, I'm pretty sure we achieve Christianity by grace through faith, and it's like a free gift, and I don't know if we need to give money to the clergy for it. I'm pretty sure Jesus paid for it. He's like, I can do nothing apart from prayer. No, yeah, it sounds good, but it's annoying. Because if Martin Luther had 3 hours a day to pray whilst reforming England, I don't have any excuses. And that's frustrating for me. Because 3 hours in prayer, it's like, it's too long. I don't have that much time. I don't, just real quick, if it's, does anyone here pray for 3 hours a day? He does not. He sings slightly out of key for 3 hours a day. It's different. Oh. Oh. Do you think Marco's going to be all right, guys? Shivers. What is happening? He led a reformation, but he said, I cannot do this without prayer. The guy that would have been very busy said, I cannot do this without prayer. John Wesley, one of the greatest preachers, I think, in our generation or the previous generations said something amazing. He said, God does nothing but in response to prayer. That's a heavy statement. God does nothing except in response to prayer. The Church of Jesus Christ has an incredibly big mandate to petition heaven. An incredibly big responsibility to ask God to heal our land, to change things in government that we seem unhealthy, to reach people, to reach our neighborhoods. An incredible responsibility. It's not that we can't petition the government. It's not that we can't do different things. It's not that we don't work and are diligent. It's not that we, sometimes as believers, we have this either or mentality. No, it's yes. But this is what I would say. Someone said to me, they said, how come like you sort of talk about prayer and this, but can't it be both? And I said, yeah, of course it can be both, but I know which one 90% of Australian Christians are doing. The easy one, the one that takes three clicks. Nothing wrong with the three clicks, important. But if it's built on a foundation of Jesus, we need you. Father, would you heal your land? You said that if we would pray, if we would humble ourselves and pray, you would come and you would heal our land. So we have a responsibility to pray. I want to talk a bit about the practicals of prayer. If you turn with me to Luke 11, we're going to read a story that is awesome. I've never preached from this story. I'll be honest, until 3 weeks ago when I was studying for this sermon, I can't remember reading it. I'm a bad Christian. I was like, is this new? He's like, no, it's always been in there. I was like, wow, this is powerful. He's like, I know. And he said to them, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me three loaves. For a friend of mine has arrived on a journey. Oh no, he's still talking. For a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him. Okay, so just picture this. I drive to Kalanga at 12 a.m. I knock on Jessie's door. She doesn't wake up. So Dan comes to the door and he opens it and he's like, hey man, what do you want? And he's probably concerned. It's 12 a.m. I'm like, bro, we got people coming for dinner tomorrow night. I'm out of chicken. I need some chicken. He'd be like, it's Dan. He'd probably be like, yeah, I got some chicken. Come in. But it's very strange. It's very strange. Sometimes we read the Bible and we're like, cool. But when you think about it, it's like, this is weird. And he will answer from within, do not bother me. Very fair response. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend. Just because he is in relationship with the person at the door, that's not why he will get up. Yet because of his impudence, that's crazy. Just in case you're not tracking, we're the person knocking at the door. The person in bed is the Lord. Great. Because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. Daddy, I know you love... I shouldn't do the voice. Dad, I know you love me and you're amazing. And because you love me, you're going to do all the things. That's not what it says. It says because of the shameless audacity on childlike faith, that's why he'll get up. That's why he'll get the person what they need. And I tell you, ask. Someone say ask. And it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, it will be opened. This is a passage of responsibility. Daddy's going to do everything I need because I'm his beloved. No. You are his beloved. He loves you so much. But he's a little bit like, show me. Show me you understand who I am. You ever seen a kid asking their parent for something? They have shameless audacity. I once saw Thea ask Dave Jackson for ice cream at 7 a.m. I thought, Thea, brilliant. Daddy, ice cream. Dave thought about it. Nikki was still asleep. We're on holiday. Dave's like, no, darling. Thea just, man, she's just tunnel vision. It's daddy ice cream. Daddy frozen yogurt. It's different, but not really. Like, just this continuous continuous. Man, we've got to be like that with God. It's not a disrespect. It's a, hey, Lord, we need leaders. Hey, Lord, we need saving. Hey, Lord, help the government. Hey, Lord, can you send COVID back to hell? Hey, Lord, I need help. Hey, Lord, I want to have a kid. Hey, Lord, I want the diagnosis turned around. But we don't stop when we don't get the response. We go, you're my dad, and I have an impudence. Impudence means shameless audacity. That's, Jesus didn't just say, let them come to me like little children, because little children are cute and whimsical, even though that's awesome. It's because they're just so secure to ask things and believe things. I know you can supply it, so I'm going to keep asking until you supply it. There is some stipulations. We'll get to that in 1 John later. Three things. Number one, you have to ask. The problem with a lot of your prayers is they never leave your mouth. The amount of times, Ori, you're going to relate to this. The amount of times I'm feeling unwell, like a little cold or a headache. And all day I'm thinking to myself, oh, Lord, I know you can heal me. You're good, you're good. And then it's like 5 p.m. and I'm like, what am I doing in the name of Jesus? Thank you for healing. And often, like not always, but often I'm better. And I'm like, why did I spend the whole day thinking what I should have said? And then, because I'm sassy, I'm like, Lord, you could see my thoughts. Why didn't you do it? And he says, because the power of life and death is in your speech, not in your thought. And so we have to start to actually petition God and ask him for things. And we are not just talking about the shopping list, the wish list. Lord, send me a Tesla. Lord, send me a new house. Lord, send me money. You can do that. But we're talking about all things pertaining to intercessory prayer, pertaining to healing, breakthrough, revival, faith. You got to ask. And you got to, this is why you got to go listen to Alex's message. If you know who he is, you won't be like, hey, Lord, I know you're good, and I know you're really busy in Syria, but if you could maybe, my marriage isn't doing great. I don't want to, like, infringe on your time, but I'm just wondering, could you fix it? Make her see what she's doing wrong. That'd be great. We are talking about a reciting to God who he is, not for him, for us. God, you are the great restorer. God, you can do miracles in my marriage. God, you can turn this thing around. Thank you, Lord. Start walking up and down your house, declaring the goodness of God in the land of the living. Watch what happens when we ask. Number two, you have to ask with boldness. I did that story just then too early because it ties in better with this point. So just pretend I just did that point then. And then you all clap, and I'll move on to the third point. You have to ask. You have to ask with boldness. Don't stop asking. We prayed for Anna surrounding her chronic fatigue for years. I, as a husband, believe I was diligent in my prayers for her. I would be in my study and I would be getting mad at the devil. I'd be crying sometimes. Sometimes I'd go old school. I'd be like singing that song, you know, we went into the devil's camp and we took back what he took away from us. You know, it was awesome, like stamping my feet and all that stuff. For years and years and years. And nothing happened. It got worse. It's like, what is going on? Have you ever been there? You're praying and you're interceding and you're like, what is going on? Is this thing working? Have I been excommunicated, Lord? Can you hear me? We'd pray and we'd pray and then adrenal fatigue would come in and then chronic tonsillitis. And I was like, I should stop praying. You know, I'm checking for like soul ties in like my childhood. I'm like, have I done something? You know? But then at conference, Corey Turner... No, it's not funny. It's annoying. Corey Turner, thank you, Lord, for your goodness in the name of Jesus. Lays hands. 2 weeks go by. I notice there's a pep in her step. I notice she's staying up later. I notice there's more zip and zang and zest and I don't know. And it's just, it was a good 2 weeks. And so, no. And so, now come on, we're in the house of God. We're in the house of God. And then Anna comes to me with tears in her eyes and she goes, babe, I'm healed. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. So I'm going to go to the doctor. I'm going to get my blood counts tested and all that stuff. But I've been healed. She goes, it was when Pastor Corey prayed for me. I'm like, it was not. He laid the capstone on my chapel I built. It's fine. I'm fine. Don't stop asking. Don't stop asking. I've seen you move. You've moved the mountains. And I believe I'll see you do it again. I've seen 7 people, it's not that many, but 7 people healed of asthma, like fully healed, like they can. I still have asthma. And I test it sometimes. I'm getting shrill. I test it sometimes. I test it sometimes. I don't take my Sydney court. Me and Connie, we go to futsal. 5 minutes in, we're both like... It's not just slightly chubby people. Connie gets tired too. And so... I'm like, Connie, do you have Sydney court? He's like, no. I'm like, I need to get off. And it's funny, but in the car on the way home, I'm like, Lord, I've seen, and I'm not flexing at all, I've seen hundreds, maybe thousands of people healed in their mortal bodies. And I've been healed as well of stuff. What's wrong with my lungs? It's not a good time to have lung issues. What do you do in that position? You ask again. You go onto the altar again. You go again. There are so many people in this room. You have gone again and again with mental health, with anxiety, with addiction, with pain, with unforgiveness, with trauma. Can I say, heaven applauds you. Heaven looks at you and goes, well done, son. Well done, daughter. Ask again. Go up for the altar again. Pray again. Believe again. What if it's that next prayer? What if Pastor Corey comes to town and fixes it all? 1 John 5:14 to 15 says this, and this is the confidence we have towards him, that if we ask, now here's the boundaries, that if we ask anything according to his will. Yeah. I know. When you read the other story, if anyone who asks will receive. I remember Mum used to like say that verse and I'd be like, oh, I'm going to get a jet. I'm going to get a beautiful wife. I mean, tick. I'm going to be rich. Going to do all these things according to his will. Right. He hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him. Rich Wilkerson Jr. says this, praying should change your desires because in praying you learn what is not according to his will. Because as you pray again and again and you're not getting anything back or hearing anything, it might not be according to his will. He might not want you to be a lawyer. He might not want you to be a pastor. He might. Now, there's things that I honestly believe God always wants. He always wants. God is a good God. His nature is good, right? I believe he always wants us healed in our mortal bodies. I believe he always wants us seeking him and he wants reconciliation. He wants our soul healthy. He didn't always say it would be fun though. No, I'm skipping ahead of my sermon. God always responds to your prayers, right? So what does he say? Well, the first one he says, I don't know where it's going to come up. First thing he says is yes. So I don't know if that's coming up somewhere, but if that's coming up, but you can don't need to because you know the word. Yes. God, I would like...
Yes.
Man, that's awesome. I love the yeses. Most times when I go into a conference, I am like, Lord, it would be so awesome if you would just show up. That'd be amazing. If you would just lay people out and move in your power. And 99 times out of 100, he says yes. 100th time is awkward, but that's all right. Just don't get invited back. He says yes. Yes, you can have. Yes, I'm going to provide. Yes, I'm going to. Now, he also says no. I hate it when he says no. Or when he says no to me and yes to Corey. My family lives in Perth, and my granddad used to have a farm, and they had a creek through the back of the farm area, and there was a big metal pipe that would go over this creek, and it wasn't super intense. It was called Catfish Creek, right? And I said to my dad, Rob Porter, I said, Dad, I want to climb over that pipe with Ceci. Ceci's my cousin. She's a tomboy. She's awesome. We were young at the time. So I want to climb over this, and Dad would go, no, it's not a good idea. Don't do it. Dad, what do you want? Oh, I'm climbing Catfish Creek. This is back when I like enjoyed being outside and nature and stuff. So we got bored and we would run around with the sheep and Granddad take us shooting and all this sort of stuff. Dad, you know how when you're young and your voice changes, Dad, or you make noises? He says, no, you can't. Dad. So one night, me and Ceci thought, we're doing Catfish Creek. So at 8 o'clock at night, I know. We went down to Catfish Creek. And all of a sudden, the creek was very dark and the pole was very long. So we did it. I got halfway across. And I just started, it was like moldy and I was going first and I just started sliding. And I was like hugging this post. I'm like, oh no, oh no. And then I'm upside down. And at this point, I'm like 10. So I'm pretty dexterous, I'm stronger. There's not as much to hold up. And so I'm on the post and I'm like, Ceci, what do? I look back, Ceci's already gone. I'm like, and at that moment, revelation hit me. This is why Dad didn't want me to go across the pole at Catfish Creek. And then I fell into the abyss. No, it's not funny. I got bitten by catfish. Legit. I got fully attacked by catfish and I ran up the paddock shrieking. My dad comes out. Granddad comes out with a 12 gauge. What's going on here? Mum's like, Dad, put the shotgun down. Fred, did you do the creek? Yes. Now, Dad was like, Bud, are you okay? Are you good? Come here. Like, did any catfish bite you? My mum was like, well, he told you not to go in the creek. Can I say, praise God for the things he didn't answer. Praise God for that relationship that didn't work out. You know what I'm saying? Praise God for that job you didn't get. Praise God for that time you didn't move. Praise God because God is in the habit of protecting his kids. God is in the habit. So when he says no, he's not trying to ruin your life. He's actually trying to set you up. The other thing God says, which is also the worst, is wait. Oh, I hate it. Oh, I hate it. I hate waiting. That's the end of the thought. The goal of prayer is not to see Fred's will for his own life across the line. It's to get God's kingdom and God's culture on earth as it is in heaven. If I could have a keyboardist join me, that would be amazing. So 3 points as we land. Why should Kingdom Culture Church be a church that never stops praying? And when I say that, yes, I'm talking about the corporate body, but I'm talking about you and me as individuals, because the individuals make up the body, brick by brick, precept on precept. We are the body of Christ. So why should we pray without ceasing? I'm so glad you asked. I've got 3 points to tell you. Number one, prayer is preparation. Prayer is preparation. I don't know if you're under 40, 50, which includes me, if we fully can understand this yet. But I know it to be true, so I'll preach it. I believe that when we pray, God is preparing us for what's to come. When we pray, God is setting us up. Prayer should be proactive, not reactive. I'm constantly challenged when I'm in my car, I'm in my prayer time, and I start treating Jesus like the great waiter in the sky, telling him my order for this season, my order for this week. Prayers are proactive. Prayers don't react to darkness, but they're a lifestyle. So that Daniel didn't, I don't believe Daniel started praying in Babylon because Babylon was bad. I believe Daniel had a lifestyle of prayer that continued in Babylon. And so we create a lifestyle. We create a lifestyle, and in that God prepares us. There's a beautiful passage of scripture that is about King David on his deathbed. And it reads like this, it's in 1 Chronicles. O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a house for your holy name comes from your hand and is all yours. I know, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. In the uprightness of my heart, I have freely offered all of these things. And now I have seen your people who are present here offering freely and joyously to you. O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, our fathers, keep forever such promises and thoughts in the hearts of your people and direct their hearts towards you. Grant to Solomon, my son, a whole heart that he may keep your commandments, your testimonies, your statutes, performing all, that he may build the palace for which I have made provision. You see, David's prayer was one of preparation. King David was saying, God, I've prayed and I've sought you and you gave me a vision and I've done the work, but I know that it's not going to be me that sees out that word, that prophecy. It's going to be my son. But that's okay, because even though I die, my prayers don't. Lord, let my son be steadfast. Let him love you. Let him build your temple. David models to us here that his life of prayer and worship, yes, was preparation for him, but its legacy went far beyond. Prayer is preparation. The super and the natural have to come together. What we see in this prayer is the supernatural, the super. God saying, build a temple. This is what it's going to look like. How many crazy things did David see?
but he mixed it with the natural. He mixed it with sourcing the material and doing all the stuff and writing the edicts and doing the measurements, doing all this stuff. In Christendom, sometimes some of us just want the super. Thank you, God, that you're going to move by your power. It's revival. Some people I know have been in a revival for 20 years. They look exactly the same. And then there's other ones of us that are better with the natural. We're good with the spreadsheet and the admin and the books. But keep the super over there. And God's asking us to be a people that bring the super and the natural together. And that prayer would be preparation for what's ahead. For us, for our kids, for our kids' kids. You know, in 2008, I'm almost done, so with me, I know it's a bit warm. Aircon goes in on Thursday. In 2008, I had Heidi Baker pray over me. Well, actually what happened was Roland, her husband, who had been in a vegetative state for 3 years, and this was his first trip to Australia since then, so he was on cloud nine. He was going around CSU just touching people with his Bible, and no one knew who he was. He looked a bit odd, but people were just going down under the power. And he got to me. I'm very observant. So it's not like he got to me and I was like, what's been going on? He got to me and I was like, okay, Bible guy, people falling over. I don't want to fake it. Who is he? Put his Bible on my chest, man. I felt the glory of God and I went down. And then I felt this head on my belly. And I looked down and it was Heidi Baker. And I was like, this is epic and weird. Strange. And she's just, this is weird. But, you know, the prophets did weird stuff in the Bible. So she starts blowing on my stomach. And she says, son, out of you would flow rivers of living water. You're going to have sermons shut up in your bones. You're going to travel. I see Asia opening first. You can do this and this and this and this and this. And I just was felt the glory of God. And then she got an intern to come over and lay hands on me. And I was just almost too much. I was like crying and snotting and wailing and praising. And it was awesome. Church, man. And then the conference ended. And I was at home. I was living in Narangbar at Mackie Manor. I was like, oh, the nations are about to open. City Point, where you at? Let's go, your boy is ready. You're laughing, but that's what I thought. I recorded a message on my phone once, sent it to Anna, and I was like, I'm going to preach this at City Point. Weirdly, it wasn't City Point or Hong Kong or Singapore that came knocking. It was Christian chapels of 20. It was youth camps in Murrumbidgee with 10 kids who didn't want to be there. It was a camp that I didn't even know where it was, in the middle of nowhere. And Caleb Shepherd came with me and we drove into it and we were like, what is happening? And there was like 15 kids there and they just yelled the whole sermon, like talking, like fully talking. And I was like, this is, Lord, I was the wrong one. I was meant to get the City Point invite. This is for like someone else from like a small Baptist church. Stuffed up the calling. If God had given me what Heidi prophesied over me in 2008, guarantee I wouldn't be in ministry. Guarantee I would have done some dumb stuff. I mean, I've done some dumb stuff, but like some really dumb stuff. I think we've got a couple of pictures, and I want to just hammer home. I don't say any of this or show you any of this to flex. Well, I do, but not in me. I do it to flex in Him. I do it to be like, God's so good. Do we have, photos, Dan, of like, this should be, yeah, so that's me at ICA. Brad was at this one. That was me preaching a couple of years ago. It was actually like 4 years ago. Can I tell you, I shouldn't have been on that stage. Not because of morality issues, because I was really young and not that good. Still not that good. Next one. This is in Singapore. So this was in 2019. I preached this with Anna. Look at it. It's ridiculous. Prayer is preparation. Prayer is setting up. I don't know if there's another one, Dan, but yeah, so this was in January at Inspire Church, the second biggest church in Sydney behind Hillsong. They called me last minute and said, we need you for our conference. Would you come? And I rocked up and I was like, what is going on? Prayer. Thanks, guys. Prayer is preparation. Prayer is preparation. Number two, team, you can come join me. Prayer builds patience. God's promises are truth, and time does not make them expire, but it validates them. You might not be where you want to be yet, but But if he said it, he'll do it. If he said it, he'll do it. He will. I promise you, I am a walking testament to the fact that if he says it, he'll do it, even if it makes no sense at all. And often my life makes no sense at all. I shouldn't be on the stages I'm on. I shouldn't have the doors open that I do. But God used an amazing missionary from Mozambique to prophesy into my life. And if he said it, he'll do it. Hillsong Worship have a great song, and in the lyrics it says, God, if you're not done working, I'm not done waiting. When you get pruned is when you produce. You know, I was at the barber on Friday, got a fresh cut. It was awesome. I know what that was. The spirit of Alex Motts jumping on me. I'm just doing weird, campy accents. Got a haircut, and I finished my haircut. It looked awesome. I went outside, and I didn't really have anywhere to be. Friday was my day off. And so I was like, I thought it was Saturday because I'm still not used to Friday being my day off. Pastor Rob changed them on me. So I was like, I'm going to see if any soccer's on at the field behind the barbershop in Rummer Downs. So I went around behind the barbershop and there was no one there because it was Friday. And I was like, oh, it's a Friday. Ha, silly me. Now, I'm not great at being by myself. It's not something that happens frequently. And if it does happen, it doesn't usually go great. So I just get like all like existential. And I'm like, Cotty, come play FIFA. And so, but I walked to this spot in Maramba Downs and I looked at it and I realized that in August of 2011, almost 10 years ago, that was the place I asked Anna to be my girlfriend and the place that I kissed her for the first time. And I felt God tell me that this is powerful. I felt God tell me to sit down. I don't do this kind of thing, by the way. Jesse Rose and like Scully and stuff, they do this sort of stuff all the time, right? I don't do this stuff, right? I'm a three, I got stuff to do. You know what I'm saying? Stuff to do. That's a payout on me because I need to be more spiritual. So I sat down. I hate sitting on the ground, don't I, babe? I got big thighs. So I'm sitting there cross-legged in the middle of this soccer field, feeling so weird but looking great. And I felt God take me into a vision. Now this is powerful. It is. I remember being there on that starry night with Anna, chatting about what we wanted to do with our life and that we really liked each other. And then I felt God sort of zoom out the 10 years we've been together. And he showed me good stuff. He showed me bad stuff. He showed me when I was a crap husband. But he showed me that we've traveled the world and we've ministered together. And you know what he said to me? I'm not doing this to get an emotional response from you. I'm doing it to show you how faithful he is. He said, imagine. I felt like God was sitting with me on the field, awkwardly. And he said, imagine if you would have known the whole journey right then on that night. He's like, what would you have done? I was like, I would have freaked out. I would have gone, I would not do that. I would not put ministry before my wife for 2 years. But I'd also be in disbelief of a conference of how many? In what nation? And you know what he said to me in this moment? He said, Fred, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but I'm also the God of you. And you've seen my faithfulness before, and you'll see it again. And with what you've seen over the last decade, do you really think you're not going to have kids? Well, that was it. I'm bawling on Maramba Downs Oval in full-length jeans. And then I started crying, so I laid backwards. So there's this slightly chubby dude lying in the middle of a park, one hand in the air, kick out your face. Surprised the cops didn't rock up. He's faithful. He's faithful. Everything you've been through is not for nothing. And if you've seen it before, you'll see it again. And even in that area where you're like, hey, God, this hurts. You know, God really cares about the areas that hurt. He really cares. I got to keep moving. Felt God lead me to a quote when I was thinking about this the other day, I added this in later in my sermon from John Ortberg, and he said, what God does in us while we wait is as important as what we're waiting for. You know, I don't understand what God's teaching me about being a dad right now, because I want to be a dad right now. Can I be open with you tonight? But I know he's teaching me something. I don't know what it is, but I know that in 10 years, I hope me and Jesus have another date. And he shows me my kids, and he shows me what he's done in this church, and what he's done in our ministry, and what he's done in your life and my life. And we go, wow, won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he do it? What God does in us while we wait is as important as what we're waiting for. We need to be a people that say, God, let this season produce. Let this season produce. God, when the government goes crazy, I'm gonna pray. God, when I can't have the kid, I'm gonna pray. God, when I don't see it, when I don't feel it, when I can't see you, I'm gonna pray. When my spouse and me are on the edge, I'm gonna pray. When everything seems weird, I'm gonna pray. When I can't catch a plane for 10 years, I'm gonna pray. When stuff seems to be going crazy in my world and in my life, I'm gonna pray. When I can't stop going on Pornhub, I'm gonna pray. When things seem all bound up and shut up, I'm gonna pray. When there's a diagnosis of cancer, I'm gonna pray. My response, my petition is one of prayer. My faith is not moved by the winds and the waves. Of course, it's okay to hurt and doubt and feel. God loves that. But we go to the feet of Jesus, and like the Shunammite woman, sometimes we grab his ankles and we're like, God, this hurts, but I'm gonna pray. I'm gonna pray my way through it because you're good and you're teaching me something. Last point. Prayer brings us perseverance. Yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. This story in Luke challenged me to begin to petition God respectfully, but way more often and slightly more naggy. God, I thank you that this church is going to grow. God, I thank you for fertility across the house. God, I thank you for leaders. God, I thank you for health. I'm just going to pray right now. Father, I thank you for health across this church. We break off the infertility. We break off sickness. We break off anxiety and depression and past trauma. And we speak the blood of Jesus over every person here, every body represented. Thank you, God, that you are the healer. And what you've done for one, you'll do for another. What is he producing? Just to finish, prayer is preparation. Your now is setting up your next. Two, prayer builds patience. I hate that one, but it's true. And if he answered all our prayer requests now, we would die. Number three, prayer brings us perseverance. In America, there was a poll, and they polled 10,000 mature Christians, whatever that means, been with the Lord a certain amount of time. And the question was, what percentage of you pray less? And when they say pray, they're talking about stopping praying. It doesn't have to be on your knees, whatever, but just praying less than once a week. 85% of that take up said, yeah, I pray less than once a week. Church, we cannot neglect one of the greatest weapons, one of the greatest builders of intimacy. Prayer is vital for what we want to do. Why don't we stand tonight?
Thanks so much for taking the time to listen to today's message. Our hope is that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If not, we'd like to invite you to begin your journey with him today. When we read scripture, we see that sin separates us from God, but that our relationship with God is restored by salvation through Jesus Christ. This happens because God gave Jesus his Son to die in our place, to deal with the sin problem, and he rose again so that we can have eternal life with him. If we believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, we can know salvation today. If you're ready to do that and turn from a life of sin, then pray this prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. Amen. If you've prayed this prayer for the first time today, we would love to know and reach out to you and support you. So please contact us at hello@kingdomculturechurch.com.au.